WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's clear and 31 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be partly cloudy today, a high around 60. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In the news, as we've been reporting here on KJAN, a June 25th consolidation vote has been scheduled for an area school district that hasn't operated in the black since 2006 and 2007. The Des Moines Register reports the Exira District has received nearly $600,000 in extra state aid since the 2007-08 school year. The district in Audubon County has about 220 students. The neighboring Elkhorn-Kimbleton District will also vote in June on consolidating more operations with Exira. The districts already share grade instruction. Exira sends students in 1st through 3rd grades and 9th through 12th grades to Elkhorn-Kimbleton, while EHK buses students in 4th through 8th grades to Exira. Exira's district accreditation is in jeopardy. A state review last year cited 40 instances of noncompliance with state standards. News time is 8:01.
Your spouse is frustrated, and you're not sure what you've done to warrant the cold shoulder and snippy retorts. At work, it seems like everyone else has a handle on the new project and is forging ahead, but you're struggling because you didn't quite catch the details on what you're supposed to do. Or maybe you feel left out when everyone in your coffee group laughs at the same time, but you don't get it. Did you miss something? This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. I hear these stories as patients finally come to the realization that they're missing out. The unfortunate part of the story is that I said finally. For whatever reason, many people believe that their difficulty isn't that big of a deal, or it's because of the actions of others. They mumble, they don't look at me when they speak, or any of a number of other excuses. But what they don't realize is that it's their hearing that's the problem. The sooner they take action to correct it, the shorter the rehab process will be, and the sooner the frustrations will fade. It starts with a simple evaluation. Call ASI today with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
The Mills County Sheriff's Office reported yesterday the arrest on Tuesday of a Villisca man. 53-year-old Kirk Allen Black faces felony possession of methamphetamine and serious misdemeanor possession of drug paraphernalia charges. Black was arrested at around 4:25 p.m. Tuesday at the intersection of Highway 34 and 390th Street in Mills County. His bond was originally set at $100,325, but online court records show that was later amended to $100,000. Black's preliminary hearing is set for April 9th. Police in Atlantic reported yesterday the arrest on Wednesday of an Oakland man. 31-year-old Jesse Westover was taken into custody for driving while barred. He was brought to the Cass County Jail and held pending an appearance before the magistrate. Mills County Sheriff's Office says they're investigating an incident of burglary. Officials say the Bluffs View Cafe in Pacific Junction reported an instance of burglary in the third degree. The report was received early Wednesday morning. Sheriff's officials said also no injuries were reported following two separate accidents in Mills County Tuesday. The first took place just before 6 a.m., a little over a mile north of Pacific Junction, at the intersection of Highway 34 and 195th Street. Authorities said a car driven by Jeremy Frazier of Pacific Junction was traveling north on 195th and approaching Highway 34. At about the same time, a car driven by Raymond Hansen of Council Bluffs was traveling east on 34 and approaching the median crossing with 195th Street. The sheriff's office at Fraser's 2004 Pontiac prodded through the intersection as Hansen was approaching, but he saw Hansen's 2002 Toyota too late. The Fraser tried to accelerate, but his Pontiac was hit in the left rear by Hansen's Toyota. An estimate of the damage was not available. Fraser was cited for failure to maintain control. The second accident happened around 5:30 p.m. Tuesday on 221st Street in Mills County. Officials say a vehicle driven by Cole Peckham of Glenwood was traveling north on 221st when a vehicle in front of him slowed to turn onto Elderberry Drive. Peckham slammed on his brakes but was unable to avoid hitting the other car, so instead he swerved into the east ditch. Peckham was cited for failure to maintain control. In other news, the Cass County Extension Service reports the Cass County Master Gardeners Organization is offering a total of $3,000 in grant money to be used in the 2013 growing season to encourage gardening to grow food and or beautify local communities. The money may also be used for gardening education purposes. The David Williams Master Gardener Grants are offered to honor the many years of service Master Gardener David Williams has provided and continues to provide. Williams is a longtime volunteer both with the Master Gardener Program and with other community organizations, including a term as Cass County Master Gardener President in 2012. Any Cass County not-for-profit group or individual may apply. Schools, churches, libraries, 4-H clubs, scouts, and individuals working to improve their communities can use the money to begin or improve gardens or landscaping, or to provide education for their members or the public. Each grant has a maximum value of $500. The application must include plans for teamwork and sustainability. Consideration for the environment is also an important selection factor. Those applications must be received by no later than Friday, April 19th, for consideration. Now, they can be submitted by mail or email. The grant recipients will be informed of their selection by the end of April. More information, as well as the application forms, is available on the Cass County Extension website at www.extension.iastate.edu/Cass, or by calling the Cass County Extension office or stopping by there. You can also contact committee members Judy Kennedy, LaVon Eblen, Dottie Krogh, or Carolyn Hartman for more information. The Master Gardener Program trains volunteers to develop their knowledge and skills in horticulture. The volunteers then give back to their communities through gardening service and education. A survey report says Iowa farmland prices continued their boom in the past year and have more than doubled since 2008. The Des Moines Register reports a survey by the Realtors Land Institute said prices have risen nearly 18% since March of last year to nearly $8,700 an acre. The Institute figure was a little more than $4,200 back in 2008. The March figure of nearly $8,700 compares with the Iowa State University farmland price survey through November that showed an average of nearly $8,300 per acre. Kyle Hansen of Hirsch Farm Management says the growth is being fed by high corn and soybean prices and the strong worldwide demand for grains. The USDA reports that farmers intend to plant 97.3 million acres of corn this year, and that's the most since 1936. The spring planting survey released yesterday says the 2013 corn planting forecast is up slightly from last year's 97.2 million acres. Corn remains profitable as prices are strong after last year's drought left the grain in short supply. Record corn acreage is expected in Arizona, Idaho, Minnesota, Nevada, North Dakota, and Oregon. But some Corn Belt states will continue to be affected by the worst drought since the 1950s, with slightly less planted acreage expected. Reports as farmers plan to plant 77.1 million acres in soybeans. That's down slightly from last year's 77.2 million acres, but still the fourth highest soybean planting on record. U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack is in Iowa to announce a new agreement with DuPont that the USDA says will promote renewable energy and conservation. Vilsack will tour a DuPont Crop Sciences laboratory today before announcing an agreement with the company that the Agriculture Department says will strengthen conservation practices while promoting the sustainable production of renewable feedstocks for bio-based energy. DuPont is building a $200 million ethanol plant in Nevada. It's designed to break down corn stalks and other crop residue to produce ethanol. The cellulosic ethanol plant is scheduled to begin production in 2014 and will be the nation's largest plant of its kind, making 30 million gallons annually. DuPont is working with 500 area farmers to collect more than 375,000 tons of corn waste annually in order to feed that plant. Statistics show a big jump in the number of vineyards in Iowa. In 2000, the state had only 5 vineyards that covered about 15 acres. Now that's grown to 310 vineyards that stretch out over 1,200 acres. Iowa's roughly 100 wineries place the state in the top 20 nationally for the number of wineries. ISU Extension viticulture specialist Mike White said Iowa winemakers last year sold a total of about 300,000 gallons of wine. Despite the growth, some winemakers say they must offer other features in order to be profitable, such as restaurants or catering services. The Montgomery Page County Emergency Management Agency sponsored spotter class that had to be rescheduled due to the winter storm last month has been rescheduled for Monday, April 15th at 7 p.m. Emergency Manager Brian Hammond said the class is open to the public and no registration is required. It'll be held at the Montgomery County Historical Society in Red Oak. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, Americans have been earning more and they haven't been shy about spending it. The Commerce Department said consumer spending rose 0.7% in February, helped by a stronger job market that has offset some of the drag from higher taxes. The gain is the biggest in 5 months. Income, meanwhile, rose 1.1%. A Good Friday tradition has been played out again today in Jerusalem's Old City. Hundreds of Christians hoisted wooden crosses and chanted prayers as they walked through the cobblestone alleyways, retracing Jesus' steps on the way to the crucifixion. Later today, a mass is scheduled in Bethlehem's Church of the Nativity, the traditional site of Jesus' birth. The threatening rhetoric from North Korea is continuing today, this after U.S. nuclear-capable B-2 bombers dropped dummy munitions in joint military drills with South Korea. The rhetoric is mostly seen as an attempt by the North to coerce South Korea into softening its policies. The North is also looking to win direct talks and aid from Washington and strengthen Kim Jong-un's credentials at home. President Barack Obama is turning his attention to the nation's infrastructure today and ways to attract more private sector investment in such projects. He'll use a speech at a Miami port to press Congress to pass new tax incentives and other flexibility measures to facilitate more private investment. And the administration is announcing new rules today to reduce sulfur in gasoline and tighten emission standards on cars. The oil industry claims the gasoline plan will raise the price of the pump by as much as 9 cents a gallon. The government says the cost for the program, if it starts in 2017, would be less than a penny a gallon. News time is 8:10.
Your spouse is frustrated, and you're not sure what you've done to warrant the cold shoulder and snippy retorts. At work, it seems like everyone else has a handle on the new project and is forging ahead, but you're struggling because you didn't quite catch the details on what you're supposed to do. Or maybe you feel left out when everyone in your coffee group laughs at the same time, but you don't get it. Did you miss something? This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. I hear these stories as patients finally come to the realization that they're missing out. The unfortunate part of the story is that I said finally. For whatever reason, many people believe that their difficulty isn't that big of a deal, or it's because of the actions of others. They mumble, they don't look at me when they speak, or any of a number of other excuses. But what they don't realize is that it's their hearing that's the problem. The sooner they take action to correct it, the shorter the rehab process will be, and the sooner their frustrations will fade. It starts with a simple evaluation. Call ASI today, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In the funeral announcements this morning, Evelyn Olson, age 91, of Audubon, died Tuesday at the Audubon County Hospital. A funeral service for Evelyn Olson will be today at 10:30 at the First Baptist Church in Elkhorn. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Crystal Posh, age 84, of Harlan, died Saturday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Crystal Posh will be held today at 11 o'clock at the First Baptist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Gerd Schreiber, age 73, of Greenfield, died Sunday at the Adair County Hospital. No services are planned for Gerd Schreiber, but a gathering of remembrance will be held today from 4 until 6 o'clock at the home of Todd and Melody Olson. The Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Myrna Teal, age 94, of Panora, died Tuesday at Panora Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Myrna Teal will be on Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Church of the Brethren in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. And Erna Paulson, age 94, of Avoca and formerly of Harlan, died this past Tuesday in Avoca. A funeral service for Erna Paulson will be held next Tuesday at 11 o'clock at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan is in charge of the arrangements. That is a check of the news and funeral announcements here on KJAN, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.